This episode is sponsored by HoneyPress. HoneyPress is a Filipina-owned stationery boutique which curates Japanese stationery goods, greeting cards, notebooks, stickers, gifts, and more. HoneyPress will be launching this April 14th at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And for those of you who listen to the show, you can get a 10% off your first purchase of $15 or more with code PLANNERSANDWINE. Be sure you are following HoneyPress over at Instagram at honeypress.nc for more information. What's up, guys, and welcome back to Planners and Wine. My name is Myra.
And I am Megan. Welcome back to another week, guys. Here we are.
Yes. I always forget, how do I say this intro? Every single time I do it first, I'm like, what do I say?
It's fine.
Y'all get it.
You did good for the millionth time.
I think because it's like, I don't want to do it, so I don't register it in memory in my head.
Oh my God, you don't have to do it. I think Kia Fury and Crystal does it every single week or something, or one of them does it every week. I don't think they go back and forth.
Oh, nah, this is what we're doing. I have to now. It's fine.
It's fine. Just so the record shows, Myra just admitted to doing something that she doesn't want to do that I'm not making her do, just so y'all know.
You know what? In a marriage, since this is my planner marriage, sometimes you have to make compromises and do things that you don't want to do.
That's a fact. Yeah. That is a fact.
It's fine.
I love it. But hi, guys. Myra, how has your week been?
It has been great. I am super excited. I have my vaccines scheduled. By the time you are listening to this, I will have my first dose. Yes! And I will be fully vaccinated, like, God forbid, you know, nothing doesn't happen to my appointment or anything by the end of the month. So
I am excited. Yes, we're scheduled. So by the time y'all hear this, I won't have gotten my first vaccine yet. But by the next episode, I will, because mine is for the Sunday after, well, like the Sunday of the, I think the 11th or something like that. I think that's the date. Yeah. Sunday, April 11th. So me and hubby, I made sure and I got us both appointments, because obviously men can't do anything for themselves.
Girl. Oh my God. And he had the nerve to be like, oh, you scheduling yours first? Yes. I'm gonna do me first. Like, you put on your face mask, your oxygen mask first, and then you help others. You can't do it yourself. You gotta wait.
No, you gonna wait. Exactly. Period. Girl, I cannot. Oh, I cannot with these men.
And was standing there like, have you did it yet? I'm like, I'm typing on the computer.
You can do it. You know, we got two computers, or you get on your phone. Like, there are a couple different
iPads
ways
in here. This.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm so excited about getting vaccinated. But you know what? I read something on Twitter the other day that it was like, Pfizer said that their vaccine will protect you from COVID for like up to 6 months, and I was like, wait a minute, it don't protect me forever.
I was thinking it was going to be like a flu shot, like how you get it annually kind of thing.
I would be all right with that. But six months?
6 months is insane.
What if people don't get it? People already still acting like they don't want to get it. Y'all, please, if you listening, unless you got some type of medical or religious thing for why you can't get vaccinated, just do it, please. Lord, I don't want to live like this no more.
Yeah, seriously. And it's like, I was always worried about the two dose kind of thing too, because maybe some people like, okay, I get the first one and then don't follow up. But I don't know. It seems like for the majority of people, they are.
Yeah, for sure. Because I think most of the time when you get it, they're going ahead and scheduling you for your second dose right then and there while you're sitting there. So, freedom is on the horizon. I can smell it. Hot
the
girl light summer.
At the end of the summer.
Hot girl summer coming up, Myra.
I'm excited. You know, this is my 30th this year. Yes! So that's why I'm like, as soon as I can, I am scheduling it.
Absolutely. And hopefully, I mean, if everything goes as planned, we may be at Go Wild for your 30th. So, you know, we'll see. Well, you know what? We can go ahead. Before we get into our guests, we can go ahead and cover one quick show topic since we're on it. So I saw a tweet the other day that said that California was about to start opening back up for like concerts and conferences and stuff. I think starting like April 15th. So hopefully if that happens and, you know, California is still good when it comes to the COVID numbers, then Go Wild can happen. But there was a caveat that was saying that you either have to show a negative COVID test or you have to show proof that you're fully vaccinated. The vaccinated part may be an issue to a few people. We don't know if Go Wild is gonna, if this is how it's gonna play out with them, but if this is the law of the land where it's taking place, then they wouldn't really have a choice but to abide by that same thing. So what you think, Myra?
I'm a little wary about it because Go Wild does have a lot of international folks, so I don't know how their borders are gonna do, and you know if that's gonna be feasible, and then also the time frame for everything too, because we're now first week of first week of April.
Right.
So I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I can swing it, but I think
maybe
the best, especially for the hotel, and because you know they want to make money too,
and flights and stuff.
Yeah, it'd probably be in both parties' best interest to push it back, but
at least a few months, not today, but maybe push it back to like October or something. When the outlook of people getting vaccinated is a lot better by then, because I mean, Biden is trying to have 200 million people vaccinated by his first 100 days, and he's trucking. It's coming along. It's definitely coming along. Yeah. So. We'll see. I hope they make vaccinations available to kids over the summertime. I think that will be very helpful for schools and going into the new school year and stuff. So I don't know.
Yeah. We'll see. I'm interested about that too. Cause I really want to put Ashton into, what you call it? Daycare. I don't even know what it's called. Cause he ain't never been in it, but because I just want him to be around kids his age and stuff, too.
Oh, he'll
but
love I'm still, it, too.
Yeah.
He'll love it.
It's funny, because he talks to this little boy that's across the street from my grandparents' house from, like, each yard. They talk to each other from each yard.
Yeah.
It's so cute. He calls him
baby. They yell across the street. Yeah. Mason calls every other child baby, too.
Yeah.
Or if the kid is bigger than her, she'll call him big kid. She'll call him big kid or baby. See, it's like big kid or baby.
See, at least she does that. Ashton's like, oh, you 15, you a baby. Like, as long as you're not like an adult, he's a baby.
That is too cute.
It's so cute. And then I'm like having conversations across the street. And I'm like, I really want to put him in daycare, but I just don't. I'm just not comfortable. Unless I see a little bit more output.
He'll love it. And two, I mean, daycares, I mean, obviously it seems like the younger you are, the safer it kind of is as far as COVID is. Because I know with our daycare, so now the only people who are really in and out of the daycare are the people who work there. Like parents, you basically drop your child off at the door, they come get your child and they go in. They don't let other like people who don't work there just inside, just because they don't know like what you got or whatever. And obviously, you know, the people who work there are masked up throughout the day. So Mason's been going to daycare almost this whole time. She only took a break for a couple months and there have been like no outbreaks at her daycare or anything like that. So it's been really good. So, and she, like, she, girl, she loves going to daycare. She asked to go. She's like, I want to go to school. And it'd be like 9 o'clock at night. Like, girl, no, tomorrow school is closed. Nobody's there.
I know he'll love it because he even loves like going to his grandpa's house. So I know he would. But anxiety, and also the anxiety of being a first time mom dropping her child off somewhere.
Oh yeah.
On top of COVID. So
yeah. See, I was happy I got to deal with that before COVID.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're right. Yeah, doing it during COVID.
You told me to do it earlier
hard.
And I did not listen.
It's all right.
I wasn't ready.
When you have a free option, nobody can blame you for not jumping into
I feel like I can only afford part-time, so that's another struggle.
She goes part-time too.
Yeah.
She goes part-time too. So yeah. And I feel like that's enough because they get time at home with parents and all that, but then they still get to go and have fun with their friends and stuff. So
yeah,
I think you should definitely start researching and looking into it for the fall, because girl, some of these daycares have wait lists.
I'm finding that out.
So start looking now and see where you may want him to go in the fall, and go ahead and sign up for it. And if you change your mind later, you know, that's fine. But at least you'll already have it in place if you do end up wanting him to go. So, but yeah, guys, we just went off on a lot of tangents, more than we usually do at the beginning of the show. It's fine. So without further ado, we'll go ahead and get into our guest. Excuse me. We talked to Miss Robin from Crafty Planner Queen this week. She is amazing, so inspiring. She does not get the recognition she deserves in this community.
Like, y'all, go follow her right now. I'm telling you, you will get your life if you aren't following her already. Like, she, like you said, she is just so inspiring. Her spreads are really dope, and I just love her realness.
Yes, and she's beautiful and sweet and kind, and I mean, she's just everything. So yeah, go ahead and get your follow on, and we will talk to y'all after the interview. Stay tuned. All right, guys, so welcome back. We are here with a very special guest today, the Crafty Planner Queen herself, Robin. Robin, thank you so much for joining us. How are you today?
Thank you guys for having me. Very excited to be here.
Yes, yes. We're excited to have you.
Very excited to have you. So, just in case any of our audience is not familiar with you or your Instagram page, can you kind of just introduce yourself, tell us who you are, and how you got started in the planner / crafting community?
Sure. So, a couple years ago, first of all, let me start by saying I am a scrapbooker. So, scrapbooking has always been something I've loved, and I started with the big, like 12x12 scrapbooks, and I've always crafted, but I wanted something where I could kind of just really had fun with my love for paper. So started scrapbooking, got really big into it, but none of my friends had that common interest. And then I was in Barnes and Nobles, and I got this really pretty just like spiral planner, and it just reminded me of like the agenda books that I would have like in school and things like that. And I was like, okay, I'm just gonna, you know, scrap plan a little bit. So it started like that, with very much more so memory keeping, and then my love for it just grew, and I started buying more stickers. And then I don't know how I found out about the planner community itself. I think it was on Facebook, but I decided I made a Facebook and I made an Instagram just for planners and crafts. And I just did it just for fun. You know, I just wanted to meet more like-minded people. And that definitely happened. I started meeting lots of people, and just a way to kind of meet more people. I would just share my spreads. I started a really small little swap group, which has grown now, but I started doing swaps and just like, I was just all in, just buying all the things and just really having fun with it.
Yeah. Yes, I feel like it's like that for everybody. It's like you discover it, and then you start buying stuff. But then once you discover this whole community of enablers, basically, it's like that's when you go crazy.
And it's a perfect excuse to buy more pretty paper too. I absolutely love paper, and I have to give you your flowers, Robin, now, because you have like really inspired me to like be unconventional with my planner. Like, typically, you know, of course, like when I first started, it was just, you know, the stickers and the sticker books and stuff. But after following you, like getting things from like the Dollar Tree and using like very unconventional things in my planners have really like sparked a joy and gave me the motivation to get back in the planner. So thank you for that. Yeah. And if you're not following her, she is the best.
It inspires me too. And like, it inspires me. Like, I'll use paper, I'll use like just different things, die cuts, or just, I used treat bags one time because they were just so pretty, and I cut the pumpkins out. And then I get inspired about people in the community that I see like, oh, she used dollies. And then I start playing with distressed ink. And it's this whole world where you do it for to make your life orderly, but it really becomes a joy to just sit. I always say every spread is a small crafting project. And that's what I love about it.
I love that. I love that. And I just love how much time that you dedicate to this too, because your spreads are just like Myra said, guys, if y'all aren't following her, you just absolutely have to, because it's just so beautiful and just so well put together, and it seems like there's so much thought put into your daily spreads and your weekly spreads. It's just gorgeous. Like, that's why we just had to talk to you, so we can try to get some of those creative juices over here, because we're struggling.
Yeah, so where do you like pull your inspiration from, Robin, when you like create?
So when I first started, it's really changed, because when I first started, I was just create, you know, I just would do whatever I wanted to do. I started the spine spreads, and that got took off in the planner community. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like, oh wow, that's so cool. But basically that's just my love for scrapbooking and collaging, but I still want my planner to be functional. So you throw everything down the spine of your spread, and then you have open space to write everywhere else. So yeah, that style really inspired me. And then from there, you know, I was just kind of doing anything I wanted to do. But then when I realized that I was creating a brand, and I didn't realize that until my following started growing, mm-hmm. I wanted to make things a little bit more cohesive. So then I would do like, okay, this week I'm going to do vintage. This week is all about dolls, and try to have a little bit more cohesion. I've never been the girl where mm-hmm. my whole feed is going to be the same color, because I'm a little too eclectic of a planner for that. I love to look at it, but it's not me. But I might have mm-hmm. these three posts are going to be neutrals. Maybe the next three are going to be bright, something like that.
Yeah.
But I literally pull inspiration from everything. I've been even dabbling in a lot of digital things. I might make something digitally, print it out, and just adhesive it into mm-hmm. my planner. You know, I get inspired by people in the community, you know, but my big rule of thumb that I always talk about is I should be able to be inspired by someone's spread, but my spread looks nothing like theirs. Maybe mm-hmm. I just like the way that he or she placed it, or maybe it was the color palette. But, and this is a tip too, I will say, if you get inspired by someone's spread, say someone gets inspired by something I do, save it, look at it, maybe screenshot it, but don't have it right in front of you while you're planning. And that's mm-hmm. how you'll know that you're doing your own thing. Like, oh, I love that thing Robin did or whoever did, but I don't have it right in front of me, because then that almost makes me want to do exactly the same thing, you know?
Right.
But even like magazine, I might see something in the magazine and get inspired. Definitely when I do a haul. So when I do a haul, I am not a hoarder. I am anti-hoarding. Mm-hmm. When I buy something, I go to Michael's, I get a new paper pad, I'm inspired. I'm like, oh, this is gonna go in the spreads this week, you know?
Yeah.
I just recently bought all these recollection sticker books, so they've been helping me. And I have Patreon, which I'm sure we'll talk about later, but with my Patreon group, to give them some guidance, we started mm-hmm. doing a few themes per month, and those themes really keep me going, and I'm able to have more cohesion. But I definitely pull inspiration from everything, bullet journal, artists, I might see something they do, but maybe I'll do it with stickers instead of doodles, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm reading something that has inspired me. I'm very inspired by holidays. So during Black History Month, I'm heavy on the Black history. During Women's Month, you were seeing mostly women of different shades in my planners mm-hmm. and things like that. Valentine's Day, we're going in. Christmas, my ultimate favorite, we're going in on the Christmas spread. Yeah. So, yeah,
I love it. And you know what? I love what you said about not hoarding, because I find that's also my best way to try not to hoard stuff too, because I feel like especially in this community, it's so easy. Like, we all want to just hoard all these pretty stickers mm-hmm. and stuff and just never use them. But like you said, soon as you get something, use it right away. Don't let it just sit on your shelf for months and months, just sitting there, because you may kind of lose that initial love that you had in it when you first bought it. And so you're going to get the most joy out of using things when you first buy them anyway, when your love for them is fresh, when you have all these fresh ideas on how you're going to use them. So I think that's really, really important for people to know if they're trying to stop hoarding. Now, if you're totally content with hoarding, you know, girl, do you. It's fine.
By all means, collect it. But for me, it's also a way from, I like to support lots of different small shops and different creatives. So mm-hmm. if I use up what I got, it's great. I'm like, okay, this week I'm going to get on Etsy and see, oh, this person had a new release. This person mm-hmm. had a new release. So, you know, you want to show their things off, because when people see me use something like a kit or whatever, mm-hmm. they get inspired by that. And most of the time they go and support that creator because they love that spread so much. So if we keep doing that, we keep supporting the small shops and creatives.
Yep. I totally agree. Because if you buy a kit and you don't use it for 6 months and then you finally use it, people may try to go find it and it's not even available anymore.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. you know, that's a sale that shop lost out on potentially. It's not your fault, but still though.
Yeah.
So
you're
definitely helping those small shops with that. And you know what? I'm glad you had brought up, you know, seeing people's stuff, and you know, sometimes a little copying can happen in this community. So
just a little.
Just a little. As a fellow Black creative, how do you deal with not getting the recognition you deserve in this community? Or do you feel like that you haven't got the recognition that you deserve?
Okay, so I'm going to say this, and I'm going to be really transparent about this part. I feel like I'm starting to get the recognition that I deserve, but I feel like I have been an out-of-the-box creator since I came into the planner community. Mm-hmm. And I feel like bigger people with bigger platforms have stole some of my creative works before, or have copied me and have not given me kudos. But, you know, I never approached anybody about it or anything. I might talk to about some ladies that I'm really close with in the community, and we'll be like, yeah, we all caught that, you know?
Yeah.
But that's a problem for me. It's problematic. And I think as creatives, we really have to respect each other. Like, if I see something, so basically I can see a planner with Bumble spread, and I know as soon as I see it, that's Mary Ellen spread, because it's her aesthetic. I feel the same about myself. I feel like someone could see a spread of mine and know it was mine, you know?
Absolutely.
So when someone is inspired by you, you can look at that and probably say, oh yeah, that's kind of like what Crafty Planner Queen does, but we cannot put it out there. Like, we create it ourselves, and it just takes a simple tag. I tag people all the time and say, inspired by such and such. That goes a long way. So I want to put it out there that I really respect and I really appreciate when people tag me and say they've been inspired, and not just kind of take your idea and run with it, because it's not like we have a patent on every creative thing that we do, you know?
Yeah.
So it's up to us in the planner community to keep this community full of integrity. Is we have to respect the small creatives, and Black creatives have a special place in my heart, because that's what I am. And I want to see us shine in this community the way that we should, because we bring a lot to it, even though we are the minority in the community. The short of that is it does burn my grits when I see someone, not just me, but to steal from any creative and make it like it's their own, and not give them their due diligence. But I do feel like now, it feels good to be recognized for your creativity, for people to put it out there that they have been inspired, that haven't said it before. And sometimes it takes you to get on a platform, like meeting with you guys. I recently did a live with Layla and Danielle, the Sparkle and Shine Planner Highlight. And I had people come to me that have been following me forever, but it took me to be on platforms like that for them to say, I just want to let you know you really inspired me. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. Thank you. You know? So I feel like people have to kind of see you get some shine before they give you your flowers, but it does feel good when that does happen.
It's so simple just to put a tag, and it doesn't make you less of a creative person for saying that, you know, you were inspired by this. And even if, like, you know, you were inspired by somebody else who was inspired by somebody else, as long as you tag the person, we can kind of follow the trail where it originally came from.
Absolutely.
But it's just, it's super simple. And I wish a lot of bigger influencers would see that, because I feel like, this might be a little problematic, but once they get to a certain point, I feel like they forget, like, the road up there. And they're just kind of thinking from their current point of view. But there is a lot of us who are currently small, and, you know, you should be able to kind of sympathize with that. Like, you know how it is. At the starting point. So why not just do a simple tag and kind of move on with your life? Is just really easy.
That would be the easy thing to do, and then you wouldn't have to worry about anybody, like, calling you out or, like, really getting on your case, because I've seen people get called out, like, and they come in about stealing stuff, and I just chuckle.
The sad part is, I've seen people get called out on my behalf, and I'm like, oh wow, I didn't want that to happen, because then it's like planner drama, you know? That looks like what Crafty Planner did. And then it's a whole debacle, but I really wish that we respect each other more. And I really wish that we understood how, like, I'm never in competition with another creative, because our styles are so different. You have something to offer, I have something to offer. But when we just say, I'm just going to steal that thing, or I'm just going to take that thing, then it makes the very fun, loving, supportive community get a little bit catty sometimes, you know?
I agree. And I feel like, from my perspective, it seems like a lot of, like, really big creators, like, it's like they're not hesitant to take or borrow ideas from smaller creators, but they are hesitant to give credit for some reason. And credit can be given in a bunch of different ways. Credit can be given by tagging the person or like helping to like expand that person's platform. Like if that's somebody mm-hmm. who inspired you to do something, then, you know, helping them out, like helping grow their platform is a way that you can give back yeah. and give credit to them. I don't see that done a whole bunch. And yeah. I mean, that kind of bothers me because I mean, like we've inspired people to start podcasts. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And it's like,
absolutely.
The credit thing, though, I don't know, girl. We can talk about
that. I mean, I'm not
I'm trying to say too much because like, I got like, some thoughts. I'm not
gonna have, like, public knowledge. You guys are known in the community. Planets Align mm-hmm. is known as one of the staple podcasts. So you're not going to come out before me. And I know that. And I see that platform. And I come out, let's say, as also as a Black creative with mm-hmm. a podcast. And I'm not going to mention y'all. No, I'm going to just say, you know, and cheers to the other, you know, Black mm-hmm. led podcasts in the planet community who are doing that thing. It's that simple too, yep. you know? Mm-hmm. I don't have to be like, oh, you know, if it wasn't for y'all, it wouldn't be nothing. But
right, yeah. right. It's not like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I get that through and through. I see it all the time and it's worrisome, you know, mm-hmm. it is.
It is.
Yeah, I think like really bothers me about the no credit is because it's already just inherently twice as hard as a Black creative yeah. for us to get recognition as is. Mm-hmm. And then when, you know, you take this inspiration, and I'm sure there's no malice in it, but, you know, what's that saying you always say, Meg, about the road to hell?
Oh, it's paved with good intentions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of how I feel about it. I don't feel like anybody in the community are like being malicious, like, oh, I'm gonna take that and make it my mm-hmm. own. Mm-hmm. But when you know you don't take this extra step to give that creative, especially mm-hmm. a Black creative or a creative of color, it just makes it even twice as hard for mm-hmm. that person to grow.
Yep, because then yeah. that person who saw yours, they may say somebody kind of stole your idea for a spread, Robin. Somebody saw their idea, and then eventually they came across yours. They probably gonna be looking at you like you stole from that person because they
yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, uh-huh. happened.
Yeah, and it's like no, ma'am, this came out of this brain. Like, yeah. don't do that. Don't do that. So yeah, it's definitely.
And then I wish I don't know. I just kind of wish more camaraderie across the board. Like, even though I might have whatever amount of followers, I'm still growing and I still have like a lot of goals and I still mm-hmm. honor people that have 1500, 2000. If you're creative, mm-hmm. I'm going to come and show you love on your page. So sometimes I feel like even with questions and information, I've reached out and asked people things. Like, say when I was starting my Patreon, like I've reached out and asked people with smaller followings, but I felt that they had a big influence mm-hmm. and they were not helpful. And I feel like, you know, that's a whole part of the competition too. It goes yeah. like, it goes deep, you know, someone mm-hmm. thinking like, well, you have more followers than me. So like, figure it out.
right. So and it's not like that. Yeah.
It can definitely get a little cutthroat. mm-hmm.
Yes.
But the thing is, it's like, it really isn't any competition. Like, there's room for all of us here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And honestly, mm-hmm. I feel like this community loves to spend money too. So
yes, they do.
Just because you know mm-hmm. you have like a shop or a Patreon and somebody asks you like for advice or anything like that, it doesn't mean that they're like taking your customers or taking your mm-hmm. followers or subscribers away. Like, you know, we can follow and support mm-hmm. more than one person at the same
time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I feel like exactly. no matter who makes stickers, no matter who makes journals, no matter who does a Patreon, it's different styles and everybody has different tastes. Mm-hmm. So she's going to mm-hmm. win, she's going to win, she's going to win, because somebody's going to be drawn to what all of us do differently. And so I feel yeah. that way. And I know people probably say like I extend myself a little bit too much, but I am open and I do get a lot of DMs and I do answer them. Oh, you know, I know at yeah. some point as things grow more, I probably won't be as accessible, but on the road mm-hmm. up, like I don't mind, you know?
Mm-hmm. So. Yep, exactly. I love that. I love that about you. You're such an open and sweet Thank person. You, we just need more like you.
Yes, for sure. For sure. So Robin, what do you love about this community and what would you want to change?
What do I love the most? I think what I love the most was finding planner friends. You know, like I said, my friends in real life, they know that I love it. They think it's cool, but it's not their interest. So to find mm-hmm. other people that love the hobby as much as I do, and we're able to gush over new stickers and paper pads and acrylograph pads, you know, whatever, washi, you know, so to find, that is my love. I look forward to when I get up in the morning to plan my day, checking in, you know, with different people, because it's some people on here that I talk to all the time. And, you know, mm-hmm. you have like your special little tribe and just, you know, or doing a post. And my post, it's not always about the likes. It's like, really, why do you post? You post to inspire people. Mm-hmm. You know, you post to, in your captions, you're talking about your day. Sometimes under a planner spread, we're talking about really hard stuff, you know, so mm-hmm. the connection mm-hmm. is my favorite part for sure. I appreciate and don't take for granted that because I have built a following for myself, I can post something that I made and people are enthused by it and want to buy mm-hmm. it and want to support me. Like, that's a blessing. So I love the connection, and I love that it allows Black creatives to start to monetize off their talents. Mm-hmm. The things I don't like, yeah, I don't like some of the catty things, like, I was really up in arms about the racial debacles. I'm always very vocal mm-hmm. about how I feel about that. I am an advocate for Black lives, not just Black Lives Matter, but just being Black, period. Yes. That's something I'm very passionate about. So I definitely was vocal around there. I don't like when people, how do I want to say it? I don't like the patronizing after things. So basically when the whole George Floyd situation, that burst the planner community wide open. Right. Personally, I have never bought in like an Erin Condren product ever, because it's just mm-hmm. not my judge. But to see that response of what happened there, I was upset right. by that. To see the way Happy Planner mishandled it, I was upset by that. And I was very vocal, like writing on the mm-hmm. pages vocal.
Yeah.
And that's just how I feel about that. But afterwards, you know, people, you know, start to do collaborations and all these things with Black creatives. I still support those collaborations because I want to support the Black creative.
Right.
However, mm-hmm. it does still, it's upsetting. So that yeah. part, I think there's still a lot of racial things in the community that I see. And I yeah. feel like Black creatives aren't where they are supposed to be because of just that we don't have the talent. The talent's there. But I do think that if it's me versus a creative that is doing the same thing, but mm-hmm. not a person of color, they're going to go a little faster, or they're going to go a little higher, a little faster, or yep. even someone that may be less talented, but people are drawn to them because of race mm-hmm. or class yep. or anything like that. So 100%. You see that the planner community is not exempt from racism, from mm-hmm. things being unjust, from homophobia, from any of those things. I right. have mm-hmm. had people unfollow me once. I guess they went through, they were like, oh, keep spread. A wife?
Mm-hmm. So, trash. People are so trash.
You yep. see the unfollows, like yep. it's very real.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
real.
That's, yeah. And I mean, honestly, Robin, you're absolutely right, because I feel like you just, and it's hard to go through life knowing that if you, obviously we're Black and we love being Black, but just knowing that if you were a different color, you would be getting more recognition, or you have a bigger mm-hmm. Instagram following, and all this different stuff. And it shouldn't be like that, because like you said, there are people who are half as talented as you who have twice the following on Instagram
yeah.
as you. It's like, it's just a reality that we all have to deal with. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, if this was a white girl podcast, we'd probably be on a podcast network or something by now, as you know, as yeah. as fast as we've grown and as big of as our audience is. But because yeah. of our skin color, we just don't get that recognition. And I feel like it's just something that, like Myra said, sometimes it's malicious, sometimes it's not malicious. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of people just aren't as mindful as they should be. And they're not questioning themselves, like, okay, go through your follow list. Why are you following 90%, 95% white creatives? If you're a white yeah. woman, like, why aren't you following more Black creatives? Like, all of our spreads are beautiful. Like, somebody's life doesn't have to look exactly like yours for mm-hmm. you to find inspiration from it. So yeah. I really yeah. hope people start to reflect more. And I think people have been reflecting more.
I do.
Since everything happened last summer. Not enough, but a lot of people have.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. It opened progress. Up some conversations. So I think mm-hmm. those conversations that it opened up, they were good. And, you know, we were talking in DMs, and, you know, people were, we were having conversations of white fragility and Black activism. And what does this mean? Mm-hmm. And, you know, what needs to be done? So it was a lot of conversations. So I felt like, that was good. But yeah, you see the race thing come up mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. That's why we can't just be like just plan here. Like, this is our everyday life. Like, even like probably in all of our workplaces, we had to deal with race, like just walking down the street. Like, this is a part of our everyday life. So we can't just shut up and plan in this community, because we have to deal with our own, our lives too. And being Black and identifying how we are is a part of our life.
Absolutely. So, yeah. Absolutely. And it's always funny to me when like racists accuse like Black people of the one of us. We're the ones who are always bringing up race.
That's true.
The y'all made race a thing. Okay. Like, we didn't make it a thing.
Like, why are you guys always talking about, like, for instance, there was this thing that went viral with this, oh Lord, I hate forgetting her name, but she's a gymnast and she did an amazing performance. You guys probably know what I'm talking about.
Yes, and the black gymnast who did like the
Janet Jackson and this. So Amy Schumer, who was a very well-known white comedian, she put, this is what Black excellence looks like. Guys, when I say that went so viral, when I was underneath there like comments to so many people, I was, all right, let me get off this post. But basically, people were writing under there in rage saying, why are you saying Black excellence? Why aren't you just saying excellence? Why are you making race an issue? And they don't understand why we have to put Black, why do we say Black creative? Why do we have to put it in front of it? And if you don't know, I just feel like it's a room for education right there, you know, why that has to be said. So
absolutely.
It's just funny.
Girl, it's so funny. You know, it's just, I can't believe so. And you know what? I feel like Amy Schumer has just like been progressively getting more and more outspoken but about these issues. But we kind of talked about on the podcast last week that a lot of times people have these issues when they are outspoken because in the past they haven't been outspoken.
Yeah.
And so the audience that they curated. The audience that they curated are like, well, they kind of started following them thinking that they were just going to be just another, you know, I guess white person who's going to shy away from that and who's not going to go there to make them comfortable. And maybe she did that in the past, but you know, if people want to change that perspective and change up their audience, I hope that they're not afraid to do so. And I feel like a lot of people in the planner community who are like-minded and feel like us about a lot of issues are scared to say that because they've been silent in the past, and they know that most of their audience, or at least some of their audience, is not going to be receptive to this. They want them to just shut up and plan, and they've been shut up and planning this whole entire time. So it's like, now you don't want to know more. You finna have a problem, and you're gonna lose sales, or you're gonna lose followers, or whatever. But in order for the world to change and be a better place, people have to just be willing to take that risk and put themselves out there for what's right, and just stop worrying so much about their bottom. You can afford to lose some followers. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not.
I mean, for the right thing, you know. Like I said, when I was vocal about the Happy Planning thing, I think Stephanie Fleming made like a post. I felt like it was a lot of excuses in it, so I wrote directly on that post, and it was a pretty long, and like a lot of people liked the comments. Some people DM me, some people had other opposing views, but it was how I felt, and it needed to be out there. And so that's at the risk of, you might lose some followers off your brand, but you have to be true to yourself, you know?
And you're going to gain a lot more people who just have respect for you, because there are people who I follow in the community who I just don't have that level of respect for, because when your feet are to the fire, when something really important, you know, happens in the world, you don't show up, you don't say anything, you don't want to upset your audience. You're more worried about appeasing racists than doing the right thing. You don't want to make racists or people who don't like this type of stuff uncomfortable, but it's the world and it's our reality. And most of it, we don't have the option of whether or not we want people to be comfortable or not. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, we can't choose. So you have the privilege of having that choice, and you're making the wrong choice constantly. So I don't have that respect for you. And that's just how it is. You know what I'm saying? So we see y'all though. We hope you know, get some goods or something, because this is not it. You have to say, if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything.
That's true.
Cute spread, but side eyeing you.
Okay. like I like that spread, but I ain't gotta hear nothing else from you. Like, that's fine, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. But so since we're talking about Instagram and growth, do you have any tips that you can share with our listeners for how to grow their following, grow their Instagram pages?
Yeah, so the biggest thing for me that, and I know Myra's heard me talk about it before, is you got to pay attention to numbers because numbers don't lie. So in my social media section of my Franken Planner, that is where I'm looking at data. I'm looking at stats. I'm looking at what does my audience like? Like there's been times where I've tried to take things away or introduce new things and my following, my audience, they just didn't like it. They didn't respond, or there's some things they respond really well to. Anytime I post a spine collage and I have not been posting them as frequently as I used to, only because I've been trying different things, but anytime I post it, that's going to have good engagement because that's what people know me for. So I have to keep that. I was talking to, when I was doing the other live, I was talking to the ladies about why I keep a happy planner in my lineup. Like I used to plan with all happy planners. I've come out and started playing around with all different types of planners now, but I keep one just because my audience likes to see the disc. They like to see, you like to see planning in the happy planner. So I always keep one of those in the lineup, but your data is most important. So when I go to my data, it's going to tell me how many posts I posted this week. This is called your insights. What got the most likes? What got the most engagement, reach? How are your hashtags doing? All those things. And I really put that down each week. So if my, let's see if I have it in front of me. So if my social media planner says that last week, my biggest spread was in the happy planner and it was a monochrome spread. I'll be like, okay, I'll bring monochrome back in a few, right? Or if they say my passion planner daily collage little setup that I did the best that week, I know, okay, they're feeling that, and that's what I'll keep doing. So you want to do what your audience likes, and I just pay attention to those numbers. I make over goals for myself. Like I'll say, and sometimes I reach them. Like last month, I ended my March stats, and it said that I gained 260 something followers in that month. That's good, but I've done better before. Or sometimes your follower will be up, but your content interactions will be down. So you just have to put the time into planning out what you want to post on your social media. That's one. And then figuring out what's like and what's not. If it didn't do well, I archive it. So sometimes I don't always want to delete it, but I'll put it in the archives. So, okay, maybe I'll bring it back later. Or your top nine. So your top nine posts when you go on Instagram is 3, 6, 9. Your top nine, the rule in the marketing world is that those first nine posts tell a person what your brand is about and who you are. So if I have in my bio, craft plan heal, or queen of spine spreads, whatever else is up there, I want them to look at my top nine and say, okay, I see a spine spread. Oh yeah, she has passion planner. She has happy planner. She's talking about mental health. That's where the healing comes in. It's very concise. So your bio and your feed needs to be married to each other.
Yeah,
that's also really important. Like some people have like, I don't know, mom of three, loves candy, just making that up, right?
Yeah.
but then you have all planner spreads. Like you gotta, you know, or you have that you're a lifestyle blogger, and I don't see one lifestyle post in your first nine. So those have to be married because people love cohesiveness, you know. And so that's one. Pay attention to your statistics, your data. People love, if I'm scrolling down, right, I want something that's going to make me stop on it. So bright, beautiful pictures. It doesn't have to be a lot. You don't have to be the most elaborate flat layer out there, but that picture needs to be bright and it needs to be attention grabbing. So that's another tip that I have, as well as you can't just want to get without giving. So you need to be commenting and liking and sharing other people's posts as well. When I'm going down my spread and I see something that's like so killer, I'll share it. Sometimes I'll share it to my stories. Definitely going to like it, comment. If I really love something, like say I see a spread, the spreads that I love the most, or a planner post I love the most, I save it. And I also know saving is great engagement for other people. So if someone saves one of my posts or shares one of my posts, that's even more, that's stronger than just leaving a comment. And I don't think a lot of people know that saving and sharing. There are so many things that I do, but those are the most. I try to be, and posting consistently, 1 to 3 posts a day. You don't really want to, I mean, of course you gotta take breaks for yourself, but you don't want to take long gaps. Like I post right. something and then I don't post something again for a week. Oh, people forget about me. It's too much
right,
good
right.
stuff on here. Mm-hmm. But people are always seeing me and I'm active in my stories. Your stories count as posts when you look at your mm-hmm. insights. They'll sometimes people don't understand it. They'll say 108 posts this week. I only posted 4 times. But if you were in your stories every day, mm-hmm. all day, that counts.
Right.
So try to remember that as well. But those are some of my main to-dos. I do take time to stage and what I call batch photos. Mm-hmm. So if I have some free time, like today, a Saturday or Sunday, I'll go, I lay out my whiteboard or my color boards, or I swap them out. I'll have like a couple boards, a couple plants, a couple pens, just staging materials. Mm-hmm. And I'll try to take pictures of like 4 or 5 flat lays at a time. So I make sure I always have something to post.
Right.
That's important. And editing your pictures, like I said, so they're bright and they can try to grab the attention. And now the big thing, which now that I am having more free time, I want to get more into reels mm-hmm. and IGTVs and stuff like that. That does really, really well. It reaches a huge audience. My last reel that I posted this week had over 2,500 plays. Because wow. for a reel, your plays are more important than your likes. Right. So I'm like, 2,500 people tap play. That's great, you know? Mm-hmm. And so you want to just try to be as interactive as you can. Show your face. I used to not show my face on my spread. I used to just be all planner spreads. Mm-hmm. But when I started to post a selfie here and there and realizing, oh, wow, people like to see your face too.
Right, that's true. That is true. So yeah.
Those are some of my big tips.
I feel like that is, because we've asked that question a couple different times. I definitely feel like that's the best answer we've ever gotten for that question, because it's so like,
I feel like I should be paying
so
for this.
Detailed, right?
Like you, that's like the real. I tell people like the yeah. real nitty gritty. Like these are the things that I really do. Because some people might look and think like, "Dang, like you're so bomb. How do you do it?" Like literally, I'm in there like put stuff together. Sometimes mm-hmm. I'll just go like to the Target dollar spot and buy a little cute, like a succulent or a cute little tray. I don't necessarily need it, but it would look really good in a flat lay. Right. So mm-hmm. if you are intentional about building your brand, you do have to put the work in. So when people Absolutely. Ask, is it time consuming? Heck yeah.
Yeah. It definitely is. It definitely is. Mm-hmm. I struggle a lot with batch planning or batch content. Like I know yeah. that works. Like every time I get on it and be on it for a role, I'd be like mm-hmm. consistent, and then I fall off and I'm like, oh my god,
yeah.
I gotta make
like
a video
do,
and a post today.
I have days where I have missed a posting day, like because just real life it got in the way, and I was like yeah, out right. with my wife and we was having so much fun, and I either had something in the drafts that I didn't post it, or I didn't batch plan. So I'm not always on it, but I feel like when I have time, I try to do it. But there've definitely been days where I'm like, I don't got nothing, sis. Mm-hmm. And it's just like,
right. And it's okay. It's okay to give yourself that room to breathe and yeah. to handle whatever's going on in your life, and don't feel that pressure that you have to be performing all the time, that you have to be putting on. But like you said, as long as you're intentional when you are doing it, you'll be good to go. So I love that advice. I should have been taking notes. I'm gonna listen back and take some notes.
Okay.
Oh my goodness. So let's talk a little bit about your Patreon. I am a part of her Patreon. I absolutely mm-hmm. love it. I think it's so far worth it. I'm a part of a few people Patreon. That goes to show you can support multiple people at the same time. Mm-hmm. But let's talk a little bit about your Patreon and what people can expect from you over there.
So Patreon, I love because it's a way to just have more access to like your favorite creative. Like imagine somebody that you really love on social media and you send them a DM and you never get an answer. You're like, oh, damn. But when you're mm-hmm. a Patreon, like it's a couple things. Every Patreon creator is going to do different things. So I might have videos that are exclusively for my Patreon showing them something that they have said they wanted to see. Like I said, we have our exclusive themes. Mm-hmm. They get mail from me. You know, it might be your birthday or you know, when we do swaps, I'm only going to take a certain people in a swap every time because swaps can get really overwhelming, but my mm-hmm. patrons are going to have first dibs. I'm going to release the swap to them first, let them mm-hmm. say yay or nay, and then release it to the public. So you're getting exclusive, like behind the scenes access, you know, mm-hmm. we might chat about how I'm doing my spreads, but I might go step by step with them, you know, mm-hmm. and most importantly, which I think my patrons love the most, is I started a group chat. I was going to do a whole Facebook group, but I think I'm going to do a Facebook group later, just in general. But I started the check because, you know, we could just check in with each other daily, you know, and like, it's nothing better than that. I might release something to them and say, hey guys, can you help me name this? Or can you guys vote on what should be my next post? And that makes people feel good and feel special and feel more connected. So that's what I've seen.
I love it. I love it.
So yeah, Patreon's fun. Follow us over there at Crafty Planner Queen as well. And it's not expensive. Like, you choose how you, some people like Myra might come on when she can. She doesn't have any obligation, but she's supporting the creative because every month we know that you're given a certain amount. So there are tiers as low as $3 a month and they go all the way up. I've seen, I haven't graduated mine to that level, but I've seen people have tiers as much as like $100 a month and people sell them out. So it really can be worth it if you, you know, have the time and people really want to support you in that way.
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
And it's cheaper than a planner release.
It is.
That's true.
It is really helpful. And if you want to see more content from a person, or, you know, just want more from them,
or like, just want to support them in that way. Just want to support them in general.
It goes a long way, and it helps to keep us going, because it ain't free. I mean, it's because it's free for y'all to consume. I mean, it's free to make.
That's true.
But it does go the long way.
And like I mentioned, like, I can put, like, say that I had a goal. Like, one time I was like, oh, I want to get, like, a new ring. Like, you can put your goal in there and let your Patreons know what you're trying to get next and how it's going to benefit them, you know, and people support you, because this is not a cheap hobby. Let's be clear. And when you see some spreads that you love, you have to know those post person bought stickers. They did a setup, you know, all that stuff costs money. And some people who are doing it like full time or even like part time, you know, those small, you might do $3 a month, but if enough people do $3 a month, do you know how much support that is? You know?
Yeah.
And so it goes incredible.
It goes really, really far. So yeah.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah. We don't get everything for free.
We don't get most things are not for free. Let's be clear.
True.
Okay. So last question, Robin. What is something people may not know about you? It can be planner related, it can be not planner related, anything about your life, your world, anything that people may not know about you.
What's something that people may not know? I guess like some of my other passions, I talk about them sometimes on Crafty Planner Queen, but maybe not a lot. Like I am like a huge like Black history buff. It's like a hobby of mine. Like Malcolm X is my spirit guide, his paintings in my house. I go to New York every year for his birthday celebration in Harlem. So like, I love Black history. I've probably been to lots and lots of Black history museums. That's really a passion of mine. And when I got married to my wife, I kind of pulled her into it. So she's all into it now. So that's something that we really enjoy. On top of that, reading, I feel bad because I've neglected my poor little book club, but before being Crafty Planner Queen, you know, I just did regular stuff, went to work as a therapist. I led a small book club that I named WAR, and it stands for Women Are Reading. And even though we're so inconsistent now, I love those ladies and we still get together when we can, but reading has been a passion of mine since I was really young. I started reading at a really young age, and then it's just always been a big part of my life. I was in theater when I was younger, so like reading, acting out scripts, poetry, those are all other interests of mine. So I try to find ways here and there to like kind of navigate it. And I'll definitely share in my stories when I'm reading a new book. And because there are a lot of bookworms in the community and I see that. So that's something I would like to get more into, connecting with some of the women that read and everything like that. But I mean, I think most of people know that I am a part of the LGBT community. I'm married to my wife. We are been married since August, but we've been in each other's lives for 8 years, since 2013. What else?
Yeah,
I love social
first anniversary coming up.
I know, right? When did you get married in August? What's the date?
Oh, we got married August 30th.
Okay. My anniversary is August 21st. Love it.
So we got married in August, which was crazy because we were supposed to get married on Juneteenth because of our love for Black history. But COVID had threw so many things off, and then we took the August date, and it was still a pandemic. And we had to make so many changes, but it was still the most beautiful best day of my life, but that was no joke getting right in the midst of this and having to lose our date. I definitely cried a lot of tears. But sure, I think it is important for people to know, as a creative, we are whole people, you know, having grace if someone doesn't get right back to your DM, because we do have our own lives. You know, I'm extremely close to my family, my immediate family, my mother, my father. I have two sisters, and we're really, really close. So, and they don't understand planning stuff at all. It's so funny.
That's not like my granddad. That, like,
so relatable. So, so relatable. Like, telling my dad about this podcast, he's like, so y'all talking about what now? Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
I'm so tickled by that. But yeah, I mean, those are some of my other interests that I probably don't talk about as much. But and that I do, like, it started off just a hobby. Then it's like, oh, you know, I'm kind of good at it. I like it. And then you grow in a brand. And like now, you know, my goal now, and I've just become more comfortable saying it out loud because I believe in it, is I would like to really grow to be a major content creator, a huge brand. You know, I want to take Crafty Planner Queen to the next level and see what happens, you know?
Yeah.
So just making, you know, more products and more, just getting it out there for the Black girl who plans to keep her life together, but also creates a life that, you know, that she wants and that people are inspired by. So I just say, for anybody out there who is thinking about taking anything, even if it's not plan related, to the next level, like, go for it, believe in yourself, and use these planners to actually have a plan. Myra said something so great the other day, and I stand by that. Like, I use these planners not just for beautiful content, but they're really for my life. These planners are written in and they're really used to make my whole life come together, you know.
Yep love it Ugh.
Yeah, that's so dope.
Thank you so much, Robin, for coming on our podcast. Let our listeners know where they can find you, where they can find your Patreon, all that good stuff.
Okay, so guys, on Instagram, it's craftyplanner_queen. Facebook, just craftyplannerqueen, craftyplannerqueen also on Patreon. And if you could be so kind to also subscribe to my YouTube, which is craftyplannerqueen.
Yes, thank you so much.
Yeah. We'll have all the links, ladies, in the show notes and everything too.
Yep.
Wish you guys, I mean, that you guys keep thriving and doing the absolute best. Planners and Wine is genius. The name is genius. I'm so mad I don't have my wine on deck right
now. Thank you, girl. Well, you know, it's a little early. It's fine. Yeah. We'll have the wine later today, though.
I hope you guys keep soaring in the community as well.
Thank you so much, Robin. We cannot wait to see how you grow. And I mean, you're already a brand, so it's just going to keep getting bigger and bigger. So we just can't wait to see you.
No place but us.
Yep, exactly. Well, stay tuned, guys. We will be back with the rest of the episode in just a minute.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, guys, so we are back. We hope you loved our interview with Robin. Like we said, definitely go check her out, Crafty Planner Queen. Give her a follow. Check out her Patreon. She's doing a lot of amazing things in this community, in this craft community. I mean, I just can't say enough good things about her, Myra. What about you?
Yes. Yeah, I definitely agree. I love Robin and all that she does. And like I said, you know, during the interview, I just think she is so inspiring and gets you to think outside of the box. Like, everything isn't pen, paper, stickers with her. Like, you're going to get some really unconventional things. And it just kind of ignited my joy for planning again once I started following her. So I can't say enough. I can't say enough good things about her. It's just, she's so dope.
Yep. I agree. So while you enrollment is open for April, make sure y'all check it out. They have some new professors. Jenna Ross is doing a spring refresh course, and our girl Siobhan Dixon is doing a garden planning course. So make sure y'all check it out. Link is in our bio. If you want to take a tour or if you want to subscribe, we would really appreciate if you used our link.
Because yes, all the links and everything will be on our show. Planners and Wine Pod, our show, God, our website, Planners
and Wine Pod. Today is rough.
It is so rough. This is my second cup of iced coffee, and I'm still on the whole ass struggle bus.
The word's not coming today as well.
Show notes today. Show notes. It's fine.
Right. Okay. So this is a topic that we have talked about on and off on our podcast, but I kind of wanted to dig a little deeper into it today. So this week, me and Myra, we both listened to another podcast called Under the Influence with Joe Piazza. Guys, this podcast is like an 8-episode series, I believe. It is so good. I do not want it to end. And this one episode in particular that we both listened to this week, it is all about Mean Girls in the Planner community. Is part one, kind of, but well, not planner, but in the influencer community. But then part two is about the racial pay disparity between Black influencers and white influencers. As we kind of touched on with Robin, Black women really struggle to get the recognition we deserve in this influencer game, whether it's in the planner community or whether it's just in influencing in general. And it's not our fault. You know what I'm saying? It's not for a lack of effort or hard work or doing or, you know, talent. Anything like that. Yeah. Or talent. Yeah, it's not for lack of that. It's really just about a lot of these brands just not wanting to give Black women their equal, you know, pay or recognition or whatever as they give white influencers. And this is like a big, big thing in this influencer world. Myra, what has been your experience in this, or what are your thoughts on this?
My thoughts is that it sucks. It just, and this isn't even just like in influencer world or in planner world, is like in world in general, it just seems like we have to work like 10 times as hard to get half as much. And I mean, I know a lot of people, Black women and women of color especially, probably understands this, especially if you work in the corporate era of the world. But it's kind of tiring to continue to get overlooked and not seen as value. But when we are extremely valuable, I feel like we have a way for brands and companies to reach different demographics than what they already are. But a lot of the times, like, you know, the podcast was saying, it's just, I really don't think when a brand, like, they don't have us in mind when they are thinking about people to reach out to promote their brand. They don't have us in mind at all.
Right. Which is crazy, because one thing that the podcast kind of gets into is like TikTok, for example. I think the podcast, I can't remember the exact figure, but they basically said that the majority of people who are consuming the content on TikTok are Black people and people of color. Yet,
because the dances are dope.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but these brands, they still make these intentional choices of who they want to represent them. Like the situation with a TikToker, Addison Rae. Like, I know a few months ago, or I'm sure within the past like year or two ago, one record label approached this Black girl, this very popular TikToker, about promoting a song, and they paid her like $700. Where they turned around and paid Addison Rae thousands of dollars to copy another TikToker's dance, something that she didn't even come up with, to promote like something else, I guess another song or something like that. And that happens all the time, not just on TikTok, but on Instagram too. And like even recently with Addison Rae, the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon chose her to bring on the show to show Jimmy how to do 8 TikTok dances. All 8 of those TikTok dances were created by Black creators, not by Addison Rae. Did they acknowledge those people on the show at all? Absolutely not. And why did they even have somebody else on the show to do their dances? Not even as well. They didn't acknowledge them.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't good at all.
No, it was horrible. Good. She was not good. It was so awkward. And like after the fact, once they started getting backlash when they posted on YouTube, that's when they credited the original dancers, and that's when they had videos of the original dancers. But they could have very easily put that on the original broadcast.
Yeah, they weren't thinking about those Black creators at all.
No, or they could have had them on the show to do their own dances. It wouldn't have took that much effort to do that. Would they rather continue to highlight her when she's not even the person who's making these up and she's not even doing them well? I would at least understood it better if she would have like killed it. Like, really? No, it was not even cute or good. So
why does that be the messed up part about it? Like, it don't even be good, man.
It's not even good. You know, it would have been way better had the original people did it. And so I mean, I feel like obviously we talk to brands a lot, and one thing that we really implore the brands that we work with to do is to make sure you're being mindful about that, mindful of how much you're paying people, how many people, what type of representation you have doing your stuff, you know, representing your products on Instagram and who you're sending your products to and all this type of stuff, because there is just not a... There is an equal amount of talent on both sides. There's not an equal amount of representation. And that is the issue. And that's what we're trying to figure out. Why does that have to keep happening? People do not have to see a white girl holding your planner in order for another white girl to buy your planner. What about the Black girl who wants to buy your planner? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's so systematic, and I think what the podcast was pointing out too, that, you know, the influencer world or this internet kind of economy is so new that we still have the chance to do not make it systematic. Yeah, we can do the right thing, and I don't know, I hate that for it to be, and especially with the planner community, for it to be spoken about openly is that somebody had to die. And honestly, I really don't think if the pandemic wasn't going on, I don't really think that would have blown up as much as it did.
Right. I mean,
kind of forced to
the Black women in this community made it blow up. Like we didn't let people ignore it. We didn't let people not post about it. And it wasn't acceptable when people didn't post about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it really showed a lot of people's true colors, their lack of a stance. You know what I'm saying? Like, there are a lot of people who are just more willing to oppose these people who are fine with the status quo. Not oppose, but people who are more willing to appease these people who are willing to go, who want to go along with the status quo instead of really changing things, and they just don't care about how people of color and Black people, you know, feel about these issues. But they're issues for all of us. Like, you don't want your child growing up in a world where the police can just kill you in the street and get away with it. Do you really want that? Nobody should want that. I feel like it's crazy to me that there are differences of opinions on some of this stuff.
Yeah, some things is just clear cut. Like, I hate that people argue about, you know, things like brutality, like police brutality, as if it's like, do you like pineapples on your pizza or not? You know, it's not like... it's not a basketball game or something like that. It's just some things are right and some things are wrong. And I just, it's so frustrating. And a part of me is like kind of angry that people are just now stepping up and thinking about it because somebody had to die. That's so frustrating.
I agree.
It's not the first person either.
Yep, exactly. And I just feel like there needs to just be a lot more transparency about all this. Like, if you're like, I love that now there's an Instagram page. I can't remember the name of it, but it's basically where influencers are writing in anonymously. They're telling their race, they're telling the amount of following they have, and they're telling how much a brand has offered and or paid them to do something. And you're able to see the real life disparity between Black influencers who even have bigger followings getting paid less by the same brands as white women who have smaller. So it's not even just about the following at this point. And I hope that a lot of brands, they'll tell you stuff like, oh, well, you know, we only want people if you have a certain amount of followers or a certain amount of this. If you're a brand and you're telling that to a Black woman, I think that's messed up, because I feel like you need to be mindful of the fact that that Black woman, look at her art and look at what she's creating on her page and see her content. Like, you shouldn't just base it on the following, because you should know there's a humongous bias in this community. And there is a reason why this Black person, who is just as talented, if not more, has a smaller following. It's not just that cut and dry, like, oh, you don't have a big enough following. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a lot more to it than that. And I feel like they're just not mindful enough to why Black creators have smaller followings, you know?
Yeah. The Instagram page that you were referring to is called Influencer Pay Gap.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's actually another one that I follow. But the title has a little bit of profanity in it. So it's FUPayMe.VIP. And they kind of do something similar. Yeah. I love it. So mm-hmm. If y'all wanted to check that out, I think the F You Pay Me one actually is creating an app to where mm-hmm. influencers can put in their reviews and things and kind of see what other people are being paid based off of mm-hmm. their race and following and things like that too. So I think that's pretty dope, because mm-hmm. like with this economy being so new, a lot of us, and I'm sure a lot of you listening, like, you don't know what should I value myself mm-hmm. at. You know, there isn't like you can go on Glassdoor and see how much a claims adjuster make in your area. Yeah, yep. You know, you can't really do that for like this whole influence
right
kind of thing.
That's why these pages are so helpful, because like, I'm just looking at a couple posts on here. There's one post says she's a white female, she has 35,000 followers, she has 10% engagement, and she was paid up to $20,000. That was her highest paying deal for because she's a food blogger, for 4 recipes with 4 Instagram posts and 8 stories. $20,000 with only 10% engagement and 35,000 followers.
Child,
that's crazy, right?
That's insane.
That is crazy.
That's not even that big of a following. There's people in the planner mm-mm. community with bigger followings than that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Man.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So it's just, you know.
I would say if I could cook, I can do that, but I can't change my color, so I don't think I even get offered that.
Girl. Hello.
The game is so rigged, but just so. And if you like keep going down, like, you'll see different like races and different mm-hmm. following sides. Like, there's no like rhyme over reason for all this stuff, and I think that really the only thing that it benefits is these brands,
because
They know there's no like gameplay book to it, so they can really mm-hmm.
do whatever
and
they
like
want.
About it get over and basically
we're the only people who can hold them accountable, but everybody has to do it. And I think like, even like if you're a white influencer out there, like we've said before, when you get offers from brands and stuff, talk to them, find out, okay, so tell me more about this campaign. How many women of color are going to be in this campaign? Are they getting the equal pay that I'm getting? You know what I'm saying? Like, equal, I feel like equal pay for equal work, period. It doesn't matter what your following is, because if you're doing the same amount of work as somebody else, you should be getting paid the same as them, right?
Yeah. And really, it's not too much about the followers either. Like, you can mm-hmm. have tons of followers but very bad engagement
mm-hmm.
so
mm-hmm.
I feel like engagement mm-hmm. is like
more
I
important.
Yeah, I get that it's the same amount of work, but I feel like it, you know, it should be based off of engagement, because mm-hmm. your follower count just doesn't equal to that, because right. at the end of the day, the reason why they're reaching out to us is that they want to make money mm-hmm. off of our engagement, off of mm-hmm. our following. So it should be more so based, and I think it is for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Until
yeah,
we get honestly, into like race and stuff things too, but
exactly. Yeah, exactly. And on that podcast Under the Influence, they had another influencer on there, and what she was talking about is basically when a brand approaches you, they don't have that relationship with your audience that you have. So they're mm-hmm. trying to tap into their relationship with your audience to be able to benefit from it, obviously. And that should not be given freely or cheaply, because you've built and curated this, exactly. this trust between you they and your audience. You. Yeah, they don't trust them. So if you're giving that brand the stamp of approval, then you know they should have to pay for that, period. They should have to pay for it. And so, yeah, like that's why, I mean, I don't know. I really go back and forth with how I feel about affiliate marketing, but I just keep falling more on the side of it's not equal pay for equal work, because people with bigger followings, as a result, you're going to have more people buying that product through them. So they're going to get more money for maybe doing the same thing, if not less, for that smaller person who is promoting that exact same thing, you know, because you don't yeah. have the following of people you don't have as many people to buy from you know, mm-hmm. but so at the end of the day, all these things are set up so the brand is the person who's ultimately benefiting from it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't know.
I agree with that when it comes to affiliate marketing. I'm kind of in the same boat as you, like, I'm kind of flip-flop on it, mm-hmm. But I do agree that when it comes to affiliate, that is more so about the following too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Cause even if like they don't have, you know, the same engagement, yeah, I don't know. I'm so flip-flop on that.
It's hard, right?
It's hard, really hard. Yeah. And it's really hard. Like you said, at the end of the day, only person benefiting is the brand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that's why honestly, like now, so I only do affiliate marketing for brands that I legitimately buy from on my own. Mm-hmm. And also now I'm kind of moving to the space where I need you to not have any expectations for me. Like I would love, like if it's something I'm sharing, like say Notique, for example, obviously we're like huge Notique fanatics, mm-hmm. and we're also Notique affiliates. I'm not going out of my way to promote Notique. It's just natural promotion because that's what I use all the time. And I also happen to have a link that can save you 10% and can make me a little right, bit of money
yeah.
too. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not doing anything extra. And it's like passive income, basically. That's when I'm okay with affiliate marketing, when it's basically a passive situation where I'm not expected to make 2, 3, 4, 5 videos and posts about this for free, basically. Because if nobody buys it through my link, then I did all that for free. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a double-edged sword, because even if like you don't have any obligations, like if you're getting the products and not doing the promotion, you may not be selected to get it next mm-hmm. time, you know?
Exactly.
So it's a double-edged mm-hmm. sword. Like you kind of, mm-hmm. yeah, there's nothing in this contract or anything saying that you have to post, but you kind of have to post.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do. So. Exactly. Exactly. That's why I love Notique, because it's not like that. Like,
yeah,
there's no,
that's true.
Like,
yeah,
every Notique you see on our pages are Notiques that we purchase with our own money. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, there. So in return, there's no expectation on the other end of that. So
yeah, VJ is a whole a different breed, though. It's kind of hard to compare her to other brands, because and she even said it like in our interview with her, like her ultimate goal isn't to like get the maximum amount of money from mm-hmm. people. It's just she wants to put her product out there to help people mm-hmm. create a better life for themselves. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. So yeah. I don't think that's a fair comparison.
That should be the bar. I feel like that should be the bar.
It should be. But Jeff Bezos didn't get where he was caring about his customers.
Do we want to be like Jeff Bezos? I don't know.
Oh, no.
I don't know about that. Oh. It's complicated. Yeah. It's complicated.
It really is complicated. And it's so new, too. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. just, we don't have no bar to compare it to or anything versus mm-hmm. like all these other like jobs. And that's why some people still consider like influencing not a real job, you know? So, because there's no comparison to it, mm-hmm. but it's work. It is a real mm-hmm. job. Mm-hmm. Actually, one of those posts on influencer pay gap, I thought was pretty cool. it has said something, or maybe it was the F you pay me. Either way, it says something like influencing isn't like the blogger, the photographer, you know, all the things. And it's not just that. It says it's literally all of these things.
Right, right.
So
exactly. Yep, it's everything.
Yeah. Like, you're just a one-man show doing influencing. So it's, people think it's just so easy, like, oh, you just snap a picture and be done with it. Like, no, no. And we talk about a bit of that with Robin, like the way she batched content and staged things. And it's
so
a lot.
Much goes into it. So, so much goes into it for her and for a lot of people. And we just want those people to get the recognition that they deserve and to get the money that they deserve for this work that they are doing. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're a brand and you spend $0 on marketing, I'm side-eyeing you. I just am, because I feel like that means you're taking advantage of people who doing your marketing for you.
Yeah, we just have to get a little bit more knowledgeable, like influencers and, you know, people who watch or consume influencer work. If we're a little bit more knowledgeable about what goes into it, we all would be like, heck yeah, they need to get paid for that. So
exactly.
I think they're kind of taking advantage of that ignorance, basically.
I agree. I totally agree. Yeah, guys, it's hard out here. It's hard out here. And like I said, we just want everybody to get the pay and the respect and the recognition that they deserve. So if you're in any way, shape, or form able to contribute to that, make sure that you do that. You know what I'm saying? That's why we, you know, push, you know, Patreons and merch and all that type of stuff, because obviously we're not really getting paid unless we get unless we get sponsors. So all that helps to keep us going, keep Robin going, keep a lot of your favorite creators going, and we appreciate any contribution that anybody is able to make to us. We absolutely appreciate it. Yeah, even if you're just optional. That's a contribution too, and it's optional.
It is, and even that, like listening and speaking up and stuff, like it definitely helps us, like, because without y'all, like we wouldn't be getting sponsors. If we had one listener, wouldn't nobody want to do anything with us? So it does go a long way. Yeah,
we need y'all, because our husbands don't even listen to this show. Girl. So if the people we married to,
all my husband care about is the money.
Was it too soon?
all he care about is the money. But that's and y'all know, like, we have a passion in doing this and everything, so but yeah, it is a little bit frustrating.
We love y'all.
We love y'all. We do.
Oh, and we have a couple of new reviews on iTunes. So if you haven't already, if you love our show, please give us a 5-star rating on iTunes if that's where you listen, and also write us a review. We're gonna read them out like once a month, so these are our March reviews. We absolutely love it. It may end up on our website, you never know. We should probably add some more reviews to the website because we have so many great ones. So we can go ahead and share those that we got.
These first reviews are free too.
Yes, they are free. Exactly.
And that's a way to help us.
Yep. So this first one is from RM Rose 2013. She said, the voices, I believe she meant the voices of the planner community. My whole life, planners have given me hives because they have such exclusionary examples and language. These women have the voices this community needs to become more progressive and inclusive. Thank you, girl.
Oh, that was really
so nice. Yes.
Okay. So our next one is from Jay Connett, I guess.
Yeah.
Y'all, with these names. Okay. The title is Refreshing and Real. Listening to Megan and Myra is like listening to your most trusted friend. They are real in their topics, discussions, and interviews, discussing relevant topics of today. I look forward to each episode and have binge listened to the ones in the past. Oh, thank you. We really appreciate
Thank you. That's that. Awesome.
Yeah, definitely. We are a bingeable podcast, y'all. Y'all got a road trip or something? Go ahead, turn back in the archives.
Turn the phone. Period. Let it play. This last one is from Lisa Faco. I talk to Lisa a lot, either in our DMs or Lisa may be a patron. Is Lisa a patron? I can't remember. Shout out to Lisa, because I know I talk to you a lot, one way or the other. She said, not just for planners. Where do I begin? I love these two and everything they bring to the planner community. Megan and Myra not only provide us with all the planner news, but they also give us real and meaningful conversations with a variety of guests and interviews. I keep telling people that this pod is not just for people who use planners. Anyone can listen to this podcast and find inspiration for their daily lives, careers, goals. I am constantly taking notes when listening because they are really dropping so much truth on us that I have to write it down. Paper planner or not, I promise you'll enjoy this podcast. That is an excellent
review. Yeah, that one got to go on the website.
Yes.
Because, I mean, that's our ultimate goal because we are not just our planners.
No.
Although we love them. Y'all know we do. Mm-hmm. And we spend a lot of money on this stuff. But that's just not our whole life. And we want the podcast to reflect us and to reflect the real world. So thank you, Lisa, for that. And I hope that everybody is kind of getting that from our podcast. Mm-hmm. That is just not what got released this week.
No.
Although we love that. You know, it's way more than that. Yeah.
But we also know there isn't stuff even being released every week. So, and honestly, some of my favorite episodes are episodes where there was really nothing going on in the planner community. And we just... That was something else to talk about because we are, like you said, we're so much more than that. And, you know, we hope anybody can tune into our podcast and just be able to listen to, you know, two Black women talking about our lives and things that, you know, make us happy, things that frustrate us, our bad kids, you know, all that good stuff. So,
Yeah,
she like Ashton bad, Mason bad too.
They're not bad. They're just 2 year olds. Well, three Mason's girl. Three. Yeah,
she bad. It's fine. She old enough to know better. Too young to care. Okay.
But yeah, guys, I love that review so much. That was
I do too. I do too. So yeah, guys, leave us a review if you love the show. We love reading it, and always feel free to send us a DM, shoot us an email. We love to talk to you guys and get you all's feedback. And if you ever have any questions about planning or anything in general, I would love to answer more questions on the podcast. People just don't send us a lot of questions. So if you have any questions about anything, send them our way. Anything you want to know about us, or if you need, you know, unprofessional advice about anything, especially stuff that's race related, we could definitely help you with that. But it is unprofessional, so just remember that.
It's totally unprofessional. Maybe we'll put a Q&A slide once this episode drops or something.
Yeah, in the stories. I think that would be good.
See what y'all want to talk about, acts or all that good stuff. I forgot the plug too.
Go ahead. That's it's fine. Never too late. It's never too late.
That is fine. But yeah, you guys, thank you so much for listening. Make sure you check us out over at plannersandwinepod.com. It's where you're going to find everything. You can even listen to the shows over there on the website. But we have our merch, we have our Patreon there, everything that we do. If you're ever looking for like some affiliate links or anything or want to support us, it is all on our website.
Yes, it is. And we will talk to y'all next week.
Bye, guys.